Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is Quick Hit from Dayton, July 18th, 2017. I'm here with Patrick, one of my oldest and best friends. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, RJ, how are you?
Great. I should say that you're not one of my oldest friends, because I have friends who are older, but that we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm happy to be here with you on the award-winning Helping Friendly Podcast.
Those awards are going to come rolling in any day now. So, Patrick, you were able to get away from home and parenting responsibilities just for a couple of days to see a couple of shows, which I know is awesome for you. And that last night was pretty fun. But maybe we can just start with, you know, a little bit about what the scene was like. Obviously, this was 20 years later. This was a highly anticipated show. What was the sort of vibe like? Maybe I know you visited a brewery. Like, tell us a little bit about what the scene was like before and going into the show.
Yeah, so the venue is almost kind of like Hampton, right? In that it's this small venue, kind of in the middle of all this, you know, typical American suburban sprawl. So, like, right across the street from the venue, you know, you got all your Texas Roadhouse and all those kind of places. And so, kind of fans took over, you know, the whole like mile strip of restaurants around the venue. And then, you know, the venue itself was just kind of a small parking lot. There was this kind of big lake, and Shakedown was kind of on the other side of the lake. It was funny. As I was walking in, I heard someone ask the cop, like, oh, where are the porta potties? And the cop was like, oh, what are you talking about? We don't have porta potties, like, for this concert.
I saw a couple people tweet about that, too. It's kind of funny there were no porta potties at all.
Yeah, they seemed like kind of like not realizing what was about to happen, I guess, right? Like, it seems pretty easy. You put out some extra garbage cans, put out some porta potties,
right.
You know, like 10,000 people come to your town and spend a lot of money. But yeah, so it was, you know, it did have that kind of like old school thing, right? Of like, this place didn't really seem to be expecting a big rock concert with lots of people in terms of the amenities, I guess. And so inside was kind of like that too. You know, it's an old building. It's cool because it's really small. You know, you have a great view from anywhere. The sound's good anywhere. but, you know, it's old. The kind of hallways are narrow. The bathroom lines are long. Apparently they ran out of water some places. I just brought my own and refilled it, right? But it was, you know, it was that kind of, you know, I seen that. I think at Hershey Park 2009 is the same kind of thing. You're kind of like, okay, it's just like this small, quaint little place, but did you realize what was going to happen, right? Did you realize, like, you're actually hosting this right. big rock concert with, like, 10,000 people who are going to drink a lot of water and a lot of beer and things like that. So, but no, it was really nice. It was a really chill vibe. You know, there was kind of lots of space. You know, everybody sat in an assigned seat and was very sat politely, so that worked out. No, it was kind of, you know, it was basically general admission. once you got
I was going to say, was everyone was sitting, sitting quietly.
Yeah, golf claps in between every song. No, it was basically, you know, general admission, and which was really nice, you know, just like lots of big groups of friends together and, you know, a little crowded, but plenty of space for everyone, I think.
Awesome. And I don't remember anything from 97 because it was December, so I don't remember the outside or what we did. I just remember I was still kind of amazed by all the Shakedown stuff, but that I don't remember the bathrooms or anything, but I know a lot of people were talking about that, just not the kind of amenities you get at a new amphitheater. So what about the first set? The Tuesday opener was kind of funny. Fish debut. What were some of your other highlights from, I'm not saying that was a highlight for you, but what were some of your highlights from set one?
Well, that was an interesting opener, right? Because it's like, you know, come out right out of the gate with like a tab song. I feel like for like the first 2 minutes, people are kind of like, okay, what's happening here? But then after a couple minutes, they seem to lock into that opener. And I thought it was a pretty solid opener. in the end, I really liked the new Mike song too. I thought that that was a really cool song. It's about being scared or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's fun. You're the indoor fish, all the lights are off, and, you know, they're playing a psychedelic song about being scared, which I thought it fit fish really well.
It's kind of like being yelled at, "You're Alone" by Trey and Fishman.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really scared, but, you know, I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a fun song to play. I really enjoyed Runaway Jim. My dog passed away 2 years ago today, so I kind of, when they played that, I was, you know, thinking of Buster. So I thought that was really good. So I thought the first set was just, everything was really well played. You know, the Sugar Shack test. They seem to play Sugar Shack okay. I don't really care if they play Sugar Shack well or not. But, you know, Trey seems
a lot of people really, a lot of people really do.
Yeah. Yeah. My enjoyment of Fish concert is affected 0% by Sugar Shack, either positively or negatively, no matter how well they play it or poorly they play it. But that seemed, you know, songs like that or Rift, or, you know, certain parts in Theme or stuff like that. Those composed parts, give you an idea of how practiced they are, I guess. And so they sounded really practiced and really, really tight and crisp. So that's the way I felt about the first set. I thought it was just a really nice, fun, rocking set. Those couple new songs, which I thought were great, and, you know, kind of set the table really well for the second set.
Yeah, and we always, you and I think, talk a lot about Down With Disease second set openers. I think it's the second set opener I've seen the most, and I don't know if maybe it's similar for you, but not my first choice of a second set opener, but this was a pretty good one. What were your feelings when it started?
Yeah, well, so it's my last choice of second set opener, because, I think it's the first song I've seen the most. Second set opener I've seen the
most. After Let Me Lie or before Let Me Lie?
No, I take Let Me Lie. Like, at least that's something different. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, that sounds interesting. No, our friend Dave told me at Madison Square Garden this past December 29th, he'd never seen someone go to the bathroom as quickly as I did when Down With Disease started to open the second set.
It's usually a good time to do it.
What's that?
It's a good time to do it.
You get the song out of the way and you come back all refreshed. That said, I thought it was phenomenal. And I really lucked out. You know, I texted you earlier. I just happened, there's like a ring around, like a walkway ringing the lower section right above the floor. So like MSG used to just have those big, you know, walkways ringing the building. So I just happened to be there, coming back from getting water, and I was dead center, like in the walkway when the set started, and there was about 5 or 6 empty seats there. So I just ended up spending the whole set there. And no one really walked through. It was really spacious. It was just a perfect spot, and so that was really lucky, and so that definitely, I wasn't moving during Down With Disease because I'd had this good spot. So I thought it was just a phenomenal jam, right? That's the catch. It's my last choice of second set opener, but it was just perfect last night. The last few minutes were just super, you know, happy, major key, kind of soaring, and I thought the whole jam was really interesting. And so, yeah, I thought the opener, you know, the Down With Disease, you know, my least favorite song, you know, the last thing I would have picked, but it was perfect and really great. So that's what, you know, Fish will do sometimes.
Yeah. And then they went into Mountains in the Mist, which I love that song a lot, but it reminds me of the 2.0 years. But what was your thought on that cool down and then sort of the stuff that came after?
I loved it. I love that song too. It actually reminds me of the, sorry to get all heady vet on you, but the 1999 Trey tour,
nice.
When he debuted that song in like Kiss by Mist on acoustic. So I thought it was just, really pretty, really beautiful. So I was a fan of that choice.
Nice. And then there were a couple more, they played Waves and then, but still more jams in their pocket. They were like really blissing out last night overall. There was like just lots of bliss jams. The Ghost had a really nice blissy peak, just like the Down With Disease.
I thought that was kind of, the second set was just really jam heavy, which I enjoyed a lot. The Waves was short, and then the Ghost, was pretty. It reminded me a little bit of The Locking Ghost from last August, that it had a kind of, you know, kind of slow build peak mm-hmm. that I thought was really nice.
Hmm.
And then Wombat was kind of like a total surprise, but I think that that song's really funky. I personally, you know, appreciate and enjoy the song part, even though it's a little cheesy. And then I was really surprised by, you know, it's like a 10-minute long jam after the song. And again, yeah, it was that kind of really pretty, blissy, kind of some kind of space, you know, sparse music to begin with to kind of build it. And then a really nice, pretty major key peak. So I thought that was great. And then the Chalk Dust kind of came out of nowhere and was an interesting choice. You know, obviously everybody, it, you know, shot a bolt of energy through the arena, as Chalk Dust always does. It seemed like a little bit of a waste, right? Because they didn't really jam it or anything, but mm-hmm, that's, mm-hmm. You know, only a Phish fan can complain that, oh, they only played the song for 8 minutes.
Right.
That's
interesting. But, interesting to close the first set with Runaway Jim and the second set with Chalk Dust, two sort of songs that you're more likely to see as openers.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But they were very energetic, right? And they're songs everybody loves. So it definitely, you know, sent a ripple through the crowd, made everybody really happy. So that was nice. And then I was very excited to get Squirming Coil for the encore. You know, encores can kind of be take it or leave it, but Squirming Coil is one of those just beautiful old school Phish songs that I'll always love to hear.
That's great. That's a really nice way to end a show. A really high energy show, and one that I think it seems like all four of these shows so far that Trey is really like having fun, just exploring and jamming, and not having and being patient. Maybe most importantly.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's kind of the vibe I got. You know, that's kind of why it was so jammy. He was just kind of enjoying playing his guitar. You know, it seems like the Grateful Dead, the Fairly Well, you know, Grateful Dead 50 concerts kind of re-energized the guitar geek in Trey. You know, I think he just has yeah. all sorts of toys yeah. and he's always like playing with his rig. And I think that, yeah, that's kind of what I took from it. It was just kind of, you know, a live wire. Trey's guitar was plugged into this live wire and he was just enjoying playing with it.
That's awesome. I'm really happy that you got to go to that show, and you're on the road again to Pittsburgh tonight, which should be fun. And it does seem like there's no repeats so far, right? So seems like there's a lot to look forward to for tonight's show.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they repeat. You know, I heard that in the air a lot. At one point, I heard some guy say, "Well, they're definitely not repeating any songs at Madison Square Garden." It's like, well, how do you know that?
It would be really hard.
Yeah, I think it would be hard, but that's where something where The Mountains in the Mist is like the second song of the second set kind of comes into play for me, right? That's
yeah.
an odd choice, but
yeah.
it kind of fits in, right? If they're well-practiced and kind of fully committed to their music, they hold the crowd in the palm of their hand, right? That's what all of us who go to shows like really appreciate the most. So who knows
yep.
if they'll do that or not, but you know, I think there'll be a wide variety in the set list, whether they repeat or not. I think they've, you know, they're playing around and have clearly practiced a lot and practiced a bunch of songs. And so, yeah, so it should be fun tonight. You know, I only want Tweezer, Yum, Twist, and, you know, I'll be happy, Sand. And then I'll be happy.
Cool. That's it. Those are totally reasonable. Totally reasonable.
Yeah, otherwise, I'm leaving. Otherwise, like mid-second set.
Yeah, that's a good idea. all right. Well, Patrick, I will see you next weekend in New York, and I hope you have a good time in Pittsburgh. And I guess for people listening, if you haven't yet RSVP'd for our live podcast on the 29th, check out the link in the show notes, and if you're going to be in New York, you should come hang out because Patrick will be there.
Yeah, I heard Trey's going to be there too.
I don't think that's true. All right, man. Well, have a great trip. Thanks for joining us. Have fun tonight. Be safe on the road.
All right, man.